सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैः स वै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः
हरि ओम् Few years back, there was a famous country music song, which some of you may remember it, which said, I have been looking for love in all the wrong places. And that is our condition too. We have been looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for peace in all the wrong places, looking for happiness in all the wrong places, looking for permanence in all the wrong places. So that's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us in the 9th chapter, where he starts by saying that he is the substratum of this whole universe. The whole universe is supported by the Lord, sustained by the Lord, but at the same time is unaffected by what's happening, just as the whole universe is supported by space, but space does not get affected when the air gets dirty or when the earth gets polluted. Space remains unaffected. So that is the relationship between the Lord and us. The Lord is the substratum. He is the one on whom this whole universe is happening. You and I are talking, walking on that consciousness, drawing energy from it, but the source of the energy is eternal, it is permanent, it is unchanging. And Bhagavan says this universe that you are seeing is the creation of Prakriti. Prakriti, or the creative power of the Lord. But the power comes from him. That's what he says. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu na nena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. And then he describes two kinds of people. The asuri and the rakshas. The people who are totally materialistic and are ready to do anything to get what they want in this material world. And so their whole focus is Prakriti. And Prakriti is ever changing. So if you depend on Prakriti means the world, what we perceive, whatever the created world is. If you depend for happiness on that, that will change. It does not remain the same. And so, whatever today is giving us happiness, tomorrow will give us sorrow. Today that is giving us security, tomorrow will give us insecurity. Today that's giving me love, tomorrow will give me indifference. So he says, look for it in the permanent. And that's what Mahatmas, then he compares them to Mahatmas. Mahatma means the great souls, the wise people, who, he says, Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha, they take refuge in my divine nature, and Bhajanti Ananya Manasaha, they worship me with single-pointed devotion. And single-pointed attention is required in any field. You want to be a successful doctor or engineer or even a housewife or a cook or a driver, you have to pay full attention. We cannot be successful in any field if I do a half-hearted job. That's what Bhagwan said in the second chapter, in the beginning, second chapter, which is kind of the summary. He says, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bahu shakhahya nantascha buddho vyavasayinam. He says, people who are vyavasayatmika, who know what they want in life, they go for it with single-pointed effort. And avyavasayinam, people who are not certain, you know, bahushaka, their mind goes here and there in 100 different directions. And so if we want to grow spiritually also, we have to make that our single-pointed effort, single-pointed attention, that and that alone is what I need. And last week we had heard the shloka, satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dridhavitaha. He says that namasyantascha maam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate dridhavrataha. We have to have a firm effort, firm focus, that this is what I want, and this alone, and nothing else in life. So have firm focus, and then keep your mind always close to God. Upasana. Upasana means sitting close to God and tune your mind to God. Yatanto and nitya yukta. My mind is always connected with God. I'm always close to God. And that has to be the focus of my life. So this is what we have covered so far. I have briefly summarized the first few verses. Today we'll be doing verse number 15. 16 and 17. Today, Bhagwan will give us examples of how these wise people are connected with me, and also a little more about who God is and how we can know God, how we can see God, how we can be close to God. So the next, these verses, and next week, we will be doing more examples of this. So today we'll do verse number 15, chapter 9, verse number 15. Harsha and Girish Bhai will do that. Jnana yagnena chapyanye.
Jnana yagnena chapyanye.
Yajanto mam upasate.
Yajanto mam upasate.
Ekatvena prithaktvena.
Ekatvena prithaktvena.
Bahudha vishvato mukham.
Bahudha vishvato mukham.
We'll all chant together. Jnana yagnena chapyanye. Yajanto mam upasate. Ekatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. So, jnana yajna. Through jnana yajna, yajnena, he is using the third case, instrumental. So, through jnana yajna cha others. Others, see, so in the previous verse he had talked about bhakti, karma, and to some extent knowledge. But what is this knowledge? So Bhagavan says jnana yajna, sacrifice of knowledge. We'll talk about that. So anye cha means others also, and others api anye, others also yajanto, worshipping me, sacrificing themselves to me, mam upasate, they worship me with jnana yajna and sacrifice in this jnana yajna. What is the sacrifice? We'll talk about that. And how do they worship me? Bhagavan says, ekatvena, as one, prithaktvena, as separate, as multiple. And bahudha vishvato mukham, bahudha means many forms of the entire earth, the whole universe is my face. So everybody is my face, all faces are mine, all hands are mine, all feet are mine. That's what Bhagavan had. Yeah, like in the Purush Suktam, it starts with sahasra shirsha purushaha, sahasraksh, sahasrapad. So this Purusha, this supreme being, has thousand hands, thousand feet. What it means is not that there is one figure with thousand hands, that all the hands are his, all faces are his, all feet are his. So whatever we are doing, it is the Lord alone. So this word jnana yajna, so but it was popularized by Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda in the early late 50s and early 60s. When he did what he called as the Gita Gyan Yajna. That's when I was first introduced to Pujya Gurudev. My mother used to take me to his lectures in Bombay. I was a teenager, not even a teenager, 10 or 12 years old. And I don't remember too much, but regularly going for a few years, and also we went to ashram and met Pujya Gurudev a few times. I think that somehow that sanskar must have stayed. Because then for many years, you know, that knowledge, I never even paid attention to it until the Lord's grace, you know, this opportunity came. So what is the meaning of jnana yajna? Yajna, as we know, is offering into the fire. When the Panditji is chanting mantras, he's offering into the fire. So here, jnana yajna, Gurudev, when he said that, what he meant is that in the fire of knowledge, jnana yajna, in the fire of knowledge, offer your ignorance, offer your foolishness, offer your wrong ideas, offer your wrong thinking, offer your all the misconceptions. And when you offer that, all your ignorance, all your anger, all your greed, all your negativities will burn, and what will remain is truth, justice, compassion, kindness. In fact, one time in Piercy, when they had done the camp, evenings, they had asked everybody to go around this fire and in a piece of paper write whatever your negativities are and put them in the fire that you want to burn. And that is a very good ritual, where this is what I don't like in me and this is what I want to get rid of. And each one of us knows what is it that I should improve or should get rid of. So gyan, in the knowledge of fire of knowledge, we should remove that. And yajanto mam upasate, and they worship me through this yajna of knowledge, through knowing who I really am. So the sacrifice is of ignorance, and the result is knowledge shining like the fire. So who am I? So ekatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Ekatvena means one. So when Bhagavan says one, what he means is that most of us have a ishta devta, you know, one particular form of God that is dear to me. It can be Lord Shiva, it can be Sri Krishna, Ram, can be Jesus, it can be Buddha, it can be, so any particular form of God that is dear to me, make that as my primary goal, that I love this particular form of God, and do not keep changing. Do not say, you know, a few months I worship Ram, but kuch nahi hua, now let me find Krishna, now let me find Ganeshji. And the second thing they say that whatever Ishta Devta, do not just mechanically pray, okay, ho gaya aarti, I'm done and I'm gone. Develop the qualities of that Ishta Devta. If you are worshipping Sri Ram, how Sri Ramchandra ji stuck to his duty despite all problems, all obstacles, and Maryada Purushottam, he maintained the right understanding and the right action no matter how many problems came. If it's Sri Krishna, how Sri Krishna, his life, he was born in a prison, and at the end of his life, his entire kula was wiped out, and in between so many wars and conflicts. But he always maintained a cheerful attitude, always was helping others, always ready to teach others, as we see in Bhagavad Gita, in Hamsa Gita, where he was teaching Uddhava, which Swami Tejomayananji is doing on right now. So we find that no matter what obstacles came, he maintained his stability. If you worship Lord Shiva, how Lord Shiva is always calm and always nivritti, how he is able to detach himself and can keep his mind always stationed on the higher. So the Ishta Devta I have, I develop those qualities and try to become one with them. So that is called Ekatvena. Prithaktvena means I love this form of God, but then I see all forms of God as him. I do not say, well, okay, Ram is superior and Krishna is inferior or Jesus is inferior. No, all forms of God are worshipful, but I love this one particular form. There's nothing wrong with that. So you see God in all the forms. There's one form in all. And Bahudha Vishvato Mukham means that everything is him. All this entire universe, whatever I see is God and God alone. That means then I see God in everybody. You know, they're all worshipful. Everybody is divine. Everybody, whether it's an ant, whether it's an insect, human, bird, everybody is to be worshipped. In Sufi, they say it very beautifully. They say, the face of all faces. See, there's a face phrase. So what it shows is all religions mean the same. There was a Hasidic master. In Jewish, they have this offshoot called Hasidism, which is mystical. And even though his vision was not good, he never wore glasses. He says, because I want to see everybody as one. Because the moment I put on my glasses, I see very clearly everybody is different. And so people had to force him to wear glasses when he had to work. So the point is that these great Mahatmas are able to see all as one. And you and I, we focus on the differences. So that is what he says. Oneness. And that can only happen when I give up my ego, my separateness. Because, okay, you say all forms are God. That's very good. I see, like you look around in your room, your table, your computer, everything, this light. But the form that is me, that is also God. See, we forget that. We say, oh, I see God in all forms, but also see God in yourself. And so what that will do is reduce your ego, because you will be connected with all. And also you will realize that I have infinite potential because God is in me. I am capable of accomplishing whatever I put my mind to. That's what we always tell our children, aim high. Because whatever you decide, if you put your effort, you can accomplish it. And we find all these great Mahatmas, all these great leaders had so many obstacles in their life, but they persisted. And so Gurudev, in his commentary, I would encourage everybody to read that. But here you can see this one. If you don't have, please buy it, or you can get it from the mission or order online. Chinmaya Publications, in this chapter, in this particular verse, beautiful commentary of several pages. I don't think I can do justice to it. But he gives a couple of very beautiful examples. He says, just as chocolates, you know, chocolate can be Belgian chocolate, Swiss chocolate, English chocolate, wherever you buy it. But what is the essential nature of chocolate? Sweetness. If it's not sweet, you'll say it's not chocolate. So just similarly, essential nature of all of us is divinity. That is the essential nature without which we won't be human, we won't be functional. Then another example Gurudev gives is just as if you're in a hall and there are mirrors all around you, and you see thousands and thousands of yourself if you have gone to these. So similarly, a wise person sees himself everywhere. Wherever he goes, wherever she or she is there, constantly in all situations. It's not that, see, some people say, you know, when I sit for meditation or when I sit for puja, my mind becomes very quiet and very peaceful. And then when I go out and I start dealing with people, that's when. So that's not a wisdom. That is beginning. It's okay in the beginning, but ultimately a person should be able to see God in all situations. And even in ups and downs, they say, well, how about sorrow? You know, why does God give us sorrow? Or where there's negative things happening, you know, is God there too? The example I was thinking about is, again, the ocean and the waves. Now, the ocean is deep and very, very deep, and you can't even get to the bottom. But on the surface, it generates waves. Now, suppose it generates one wave that is beautiful and the surfer is on it and he's riding the surfboard and all the way till the end and he wins the first prize in the, you know, in the World Surfboard Championship. So does the ocean take credit for it? Ocean doesn't say, I did it. Ocean said that was the wave. It was the, and the surfer's effort. And unfortunately, a second big wave comes and there's a boat of with 10 people and it hits it so hard, the boat strikes the rock. And all 10 people are drowned, they are killed. Again, the ocean says, I just gave the energy to the wave. Now, what the wave does, or what the, it depends on their prarabdha, depends on the destiny of those 10 individuals. So, even in sorrow, we should see that God is there and he's teaching me a lesson. When I am in pain, when I am in sorrow, there is some lesson in it for me. That is why I am going through this situation. Talking about sorrow, this man went to the hospital to visit his mother-in-law, who was very, very sick and in a really bad condition, old and very sick. And he came back and his wife asked him, so how's my mom? He said, oh, she's fine. She'll be home soon. So she said, what? She'll be home soon? Just yesterday I went to the hospital and the doctor said she has only a few days to live. What did he tell you? He said, she'll be home soon. He said, really? What exactly did he say? Oh, he told me, be prepared for the worst. Sorry, I apologize to all the mothers-in-law in there. but that's the thing, you know, even whether there is joy, whether there is sorrow, there is this state of connection with God. He never loses his touch, even no matter what situations come. And that's what they say, this should be constant, not that, you know, for a while everything is fine, and then the moment somebody cuts me off or somebody honks at me or gives me the finger, then I get irritated and then my mind gets disturbed and then my mind gets agitated and then I say, oh, my whole day is ruined. You know, in life, you're never going to meet people who are all very good, who are very compatible. You will meet all kinds of people, but keep your mind always centered on the Lord, and even this person who is giving me sorrow, giving me grief, that is also the Lord. And there is a lesson in everything that is happening, and it is God is teaching me to be patient, teaching me to be strong, teaching me to be able to go through all situations without getting agitated. So look at that. And Gurudev also says, just as in my body, I am all pervading. I am equally there in my hand, in my feet, in my eyes, in my nose, in my ears. But it's not that I love my hand more than my feet or my nose. Every part of the body is important. So similarly, a wise person sees himself in this whole universe. Everything is that one divinity, all pervading. So all parts of my body are dear to me. So all parts of the universe. That's why Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad-gita samoham sarva-bhuteshu na me dveshosti na priyaha. He says, for me, everybody is the same. It's not that I love one person more and other person less. But then in the second line, he says, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. Just as the fire gives heat to everybody, but the one who is close to the fire will get the heat more, and the one who is in the other end of the room will be complaining about the cold. So God says, come close to me, bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, worship me, love me, and you will feel my heat, you will feel my love. So that is this beautiful shloka, which gives us the meaning of jnana yajna, offering your ignorance, and seeing God everywhere in all forms. That's what Arjuna also says, aneka bahudara vaktra netram pashyami tvam sarvato nantarupam nantam na madhyam na punascha adim pashyami vishveshvara vishvarupa. In the 11th chapter, when Arjuna sees the Lord, he sees 1,000 hands, 1,000 feet, and he sees everything, past, present, future, heavens, earth, all the different worlds in this one divinity. And we'll be doing the 10th and 11th chapter, where God will tell us that he is in everything and everything is in him. So that is verse number 15.